All right, that was wonderful singing. Thank you, Brother Nick. Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, please. Ephesians chapter number 4, and it's a great honor to be able to not only serve here at Pacific Baptist Church, but be a member here and preach behind this pulpit. And I don't take it for granted, and thank you for staying here, even though you heard that I was preaching, amen. That means a lot, but of course, a lot can happen during prayer time. So anyhow, Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll read verses 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. The Bible says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Of course, we understand that the old man is referring to who we used to be before salvation. And by the way, before salvation, it's understood that we were probably lost in sin. Before salvation, it's understood that we would be in bondage to sin. And really, I'm not saying it's ever right to do wrong, but you really can't blame a lost person for living in sin. They don't know God. But after salvation, that's when we get that new life. That new man, the things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. At least I shouldn't. I shouldn't. And the Bible constantly reminds us to die daily as Paul did and to put off the old man and put on the new. And let's go ahead and pray this evening. Father, thank you so much for another church service, another opportunity we get to meet and make a decision, really. Everybody has an opportunity this evening. Draw closer to you or stray further away. I pray, dear God, that we've all made that decision as church. It's so important when the Bible's opened to hear your word, to hear what you have for us. And God, it could be, Lord, that this evening somebody needs this message from your word, not because I'm preaching, but because you're alive and well, and you're powerful enough to help a life today. I pray that you'll use me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. At the start of a new year, there are many resolutions or commitments that people make in an effort to change something in their life. And Brother Oscar, can I use this right here? I'm going to put this to the side. You hear them as New Year's resolutions, and this is when people will buy a lot of exercise equipment, which has two purposes. Exercise for about the first month, and then it magically converts into something that holds laundry and clothes, amen? So you want to get the ones that you can stick the hangers on there, and it's very useful. But why do people make these kind of decisions, these commitments? Well, they want to change something in their life. Maybe they're tired of looking at the mirror and seeing what they see. They want to make some kind of change, and that's why they have that resolution. Well, some people, aside from exercise, maybe it's because of some health issues and problems, they're going to change the way they diet. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not one of the people that read labels, amen? I feel bad for those people. They walk in the aisles of the grocery stores. I look to see what's on sale. They look to see what has the fewest amount of calories or this, that, or the other. Well, there are some people that have to watch their sodium intake, their sugar intake because of health problems. And as a result of that, it inspires them to make some changes or commitment to change. In our lives, much more important than health, even though that's important, and even our diet, we have opportunities for spiritual change. We really do. And this is sometimes often overlooked. Many people talk a lot about exercise and health, and that's very important. But how much do we talk about the spiritual change that's needed in our life? How about it? We're about 5 days into the new year. Has God pointed out something in the spiritual area of your life that you need to change? Somewhere that you can grow? Somewhere that you need to make some resolutions or commitments? The title of tonight's message is Changed, But for the Good. Changed, but for the good. We must understand that change is sometimes bad. Change is sometimes bad. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, my son, do you have a handout? Does everyone have a handout? Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That's referring to people that are straying away from God. Be careful, because they can influence you and cause you to change. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, Demas hath left, having loved this, actually, why don't you go ahead and turn there, amen. because I don't want to quote something and someone say I'm reading the wrong version, amen, the Charlie version. I just actually took this verse as I was walking here. God brought it to my mind, but he didn't allow me to memorize it. So 2 Timothy chapter number 4, even though I should know this, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." This is a man that once loved God, but now there was change, not good change, bad change in his life. Oftentimes we look at somebody that we haven't seen in a while and we'll say, you know what, boy, they've changed. And sometimes it always doesn't mean something good. You know, if we used to tithe faithfully and in addition give to the building and missions to the bus ministry, but now we only tithe when it's convenient for us or we don't tithe at all, that's a change, but that's a bad change. If we used to treat our spouse with more respect when we got married and we were in that honeymoon stage, man, good night, you used to pull the chair out for her and wipe the seat. Now you still pull the chair out and wipe the seat, but then you sit back down immediately, amen. That's change, but that's not good change. That's bad change. If we used to have more holiness and standards in the way that we carried ourselves, the way that we lived, we were very cautious. We had a filter everywhere we went. We didn't allow certain things on our phones, amen. We didn't allow certain things on our TV and certain things to be talked about in our presence. But now our guard is down and we are more loosely living our Christian life. We've changed, but not for the good. That's bad change. That's bad change. Sometimes we blame our change or our bad change on the circumstances around us. I don't tithe anymore because I got a pay cut at work. I don't treat my spouse with respect because they don't deserve it. I don't serve God with the same Bible convictions and preferences as I used to because we're living in a different time now. Man, we're living in a different time. It's not needed. We must stay with the times and try new methods so I can reach more people, even if it means bringing God down to our level. I got news for you. Even though you may think you're bringing God down to our level, it doesn't mean God came down. God is holy, and God stays right where he is. Right where he is. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, man has attempted to blame others. Adam blamed Eve. And by the way, I believe he was right. Eve blamed the serpent. And by the way, that hasn't changed with us. We like to blame our circumstances. The responsibility goes much deeper than that. The problem goes much deeper. We're reminded in the Bible time and time again that our problems, our greatest problems, are never around us. They're in us. They're in us. The Bible says in James 4:1, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" The outward visible problems. "Come they not hence even of your lusts, the inward desires of our heart, that war in your members?" I got an illustration here. I haven't tried it out, so I'm a little nervous here. So if it doesn't work out, just bear with me here, okay? I got a jar here. I got a tea bag. All right, I'm going to put it inside. You guys know what's going to happen here. I have hot water. I'm going to pour hot water in this jar here. And if you pay me $1, I'll let you drink it, okay? And as you can see, that water's starting to change color, and you see some particles floating around there. That's from the tea, okay, not from dirty water. That water did not create those flavors that are mingling all around there and those particles that are dissipating to the water. There, you see all that? That water didn't create that. All that water did was just expose the contents of the tea bag. You know, I get it. Some of us grew up kind of rough, and some of us grew up rougher than others. Some of us grew up kind of poor, and some of us grew up poorer than others. But just because we grew up in a dysfunctional home or we had a lot of setbacks against us, it does not mean that we have a right to blame other people for our problem or for our lack of change. It's about time we take responsibility. It's about time. You know, I didn't grow up with Christian parents, but this is the way that God designed it. But I got good news. They both come to church now. My mom got saved a couple years ago, and she's pretty faithful today. She's pretty sick, but otherwise she'd be in church today. Don't allow your circumstances to hinder you from evaluating your life properly and making the necessary and proper change. God's word is clear. We cannot blame our sin on any circumstances or trials that we may be occurring, that may be occurring in our lives. Our sin is because of our sinful heart. The Bible says, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Let's take a moment to examine our hearts right now. Think about that. The same way that when we go to the doctor and go undergo a physical and they tell us everything that's wrong with us, let's examine ourselves spiritually. Let's think about our communication. Has that waned a little bit? Let's think about what we watch. Has that compromised a little bit? Let's think about the places that we go. Let's think about the friends that we have. Let's think about the influence that we've allowed into our lives and even our children's lives. Has that changed? Is our guard still up as it once was? And if it isn't, let's change. Let's get right with God. What is the goal of change that God wants in our lives? It's pretty simple, cut and dry. God wants us to be more like him, amen? God wants us to be more like Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God understands that the more that we emulate Lord Jesus Christ, the better our life is. The reason why, if there are problems in my marriage between my wife and I believe she's here somewhere, it's because I'm not like Christ. If there are problems between myself and my children, it's the times that I'm not emulating Christ. God understands that if we just compare ourselves instead of one to another like we like to oftentimes, right? You know, I may not tithe all the time, but at least I tithe sometimes. I know people in our church that don't tithe. Well, that's nice. Why don't you just tithe faithfully? Well, you know what? I go soul winning once in a while when there's a big push. But other than that, man, I'll just wait for the next time we have soul winning, because I know there are people in our church that don't go at all. Well, that's nice. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He gave his life for it. How about we just go soul winning all the time? Let's be sure to put Jesus as our measuring stick and make sure we strive to live our life like him. While living on this earth, Jesus Christ exemplified the characteristics of a man controlled by the Holy Spirit in perfect fellowship with God. Think about that phrase there, fellowship with God. Are you in fellowship with God? You know, my brother-in-law mentioned something very personal, so I'm a little offended yesterday. But he did mention we were fellowshipping one with another, and it was pretty neat until that end there. Amen, that I was ignored. But it's a pleasure to fellowship with family. You smile with each other, you laugh, you make your comments. When's the last time you did that with the Lord? You know, God doesn't want us just to pray to him very briefly when it's time to eat food. God wants us to fellowship. God doesn't want us just to close our eyes and mutter and memorize prayer for our children as we're getting ready to go to bed, kiss them on the forehead, tuck them in, though that's nice and good. God wants us to fellowship. When's the last time you sat down with God, or you knelt down, or while you were driving, you said, Lord, I haven't talked to you in a while, but Lord, I need you in my life right now. I need you right now as I drive. I need you as I go to work. I want to make an impact as I go to church, God. I want something special in my life that maybe I've missed out on the last couple of years because of hardness, because of the world, because of sin, because of selfish things that I've allowed to creep in and take my joy away from you. God, please restore the joy back in me of my salvation. When's the last time you fellowship with God? When is the last time you heard his voice? Paul testified that the Holy Spirit's leadership in a man's life is one of the main evidences of that man's salvation. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The reason why I know an apple tree is an apple tree is because of the apples, amen? The reason why I know a pomegranate tree is a pomegranate tree, and I love pomegranate trees, or tree, the fruit. It's because of the pomegranates. The Bible says we shall know them by their fruits. In other words, people ought to be able to identify us as Christians because of the Holy Spirit and God's working in our life. Not because of our t-shirt. Not because of the little bumper stickers we have in our car. Not just because we go to church, amen. They ought to be able to see something different about us at work or even in our families. And they ought to be able to pinpoint something amazing that's occurring in our life because we're striving to be more like him. Here are some steps that we can apply immediately in our lives tonight to change for the good and be more like Christ. Number one, in order to change for the good, there must be acknowledging. Can I get you to say acknowledging? We must acknowledge our weaknesses. The Bible says, Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We must understand that we have weaknesses. By the way, this is much like with salvation. Before we can get saved, we had to have a stage of acknowledgement. We had to have a stage of acknowledgement. And I'll tell you what keeps us from our acknowledgement. Say it, pride. Pride. Hey, we're pretty good. I'm pretty good with seeing fault in other people. I'm pretty good at seeing weaknesses in other people, but boy, you can have all the facts and evidences in the world, but you say something about me or my family, it's going to be a pill that's a little hard to swallow. And by the way, I think most of us are like that, unless I'm alone in here. It's just because of our pride. I remember one time, and they're in here, so I'm not going to try to embarrass anybody. When CJ was about 3 months old, man, what a joy. That was right before he was getting colicky, amen. What a joy. I thought he was the best baby in the world. I've never had a baby before, so I thought that was pretty cool. And he wouldn't really cry or give us a hard time. And one of the church members that's in here today, and I'm not mad at you, not anymore. But I remember in the parking lot, Is it me? Yes, it's you. Over here. No, just kidding. And I remember they said, Brother Charlie, how is he? I said, you know, he's amazing. He's so good. And he, amen, put his arms around me and said, we all think our children are good. And I said, bye. I went away. I'm like, boy, he doesn't know nothing, man. My child is amazing. He's good. And then he started turning to the devil. I mean, that was not good. But can I tell you something? It's hard for us to see our children for how they are. It would be good for us parents to listen to the criticism from other people that love your children. It would be good for us even to listen to the criticism about ourselves, but our pride keeps us from acknowledging our need to change. By the way, I got a question for you. If we don't know because we fail to acknowledge the weaknesses that we have, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? Well, you know what? I'm not the one that needs fixing. It's everybody else. No, sir, ma'am, you still need to change something in your life on a daily basis to be more like Christ. It's a process. It's called sanctification. Yeah. Sanctification. We've got to constantly change. That's like taking your car to a body shop or a car mechanic and saying, you know what? I have a problem with my car. And before the guy even evaluates it, says, oh, no problem. We fix problems around here. $600. You say, I know someone like that. Amen. $600. They haven't even evaluated it yet. We've got to be able to acknowledge our problems and our weaknesses. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Got a question for you. Do you have an honest view of your weaknesses? Sometimes the reason why people fight in families or amongst friends or even marriages and that relationship never gets restored is because one person, at least one person, would not even acknowledge their faults. And we're willing to hold on to our pride because we want to be right. We want to waste our life away with bitterness and fighting. Let's acknowledge our weaknesses. Not only do we need to acknowledge our weaknesses, but we must acknowledge the bigness of God. We must acknowledge the bigness of God. We will never change into God's image unless we fully understand how great our God is. How great our God is. By the way, this morning or afternoon in chapel time, I went in there. I know our teenagers were a little tired, and they probably get tired of me saying this, but man, I hate to have a boring chapel service. I believe it's a sin to have a boring chapel service or a boring church service, because I believe that's an opportunity for God's people to get together and rally together and be able to cheer on God and what God's word being preached and get excited about the possibility of God doing something special in someone's life. So I went up there, man, our first song went along and it was deader than a doornail. Good night. And I kind of just reminded the teenagers, let me tell you something. God just heard that song. And God is too big for us to yawn away. God is too big for us to ignore as verses are being sung and we're looking at our friends. God is too big for us in church tonight to do that. God is huge, and you may not think so. And in your mind, you may serve a little G God, but I don't know about you. I serve a big G God. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He can do anything that he wants. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing all the things that I have that occurred in my life, even before I ever bowed my knees to pray and tell them to the Lord. He already knew them. God is amazing. God is omnipresent. I don't have to wait for him to be able to come and visit me. I can be in his presence anytime that I choose to. God is good. By the way, I like this one. God is good. You know, when I go with my wife and we sit at a restaurant or if we're eating something good, like a steak that's cooked medium rare, that's perfectly seasoned, amen, I can't help but cutting that piece of steak and just putting it in my mouth and just kind of going, huh, that's so good. Oh, man, sorry. That's so good. This microphone, someone needs to disinfect this thing, man. I'll tell you that. I just spit all over it. That is so good. You ever ate something that was so delicious? Wow. Here's another bite. Oh, That's amazing. And you almost can't believe that it's real. Can I tell you something? Much more than that, I got to change transition here. Much more than that, God is good. Hey, God ought to put a smile on our face. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I got a question for you. Has God been good in your life? Has God been good in your life? God is love. God is our provider. He allows me to work so I can give my family food and clothes and things and provisions. Praise God for that. God is holy. We need to remind ourselves of that. When we try to change the way that we serve God or the way that we live for the Lord and the things that we use to entertain ourselves, understand that God is holy. God is holy. God is merciful. God is faithful. God is constant and immutable. That means that all that God is, he's always been and will always be. And that will never, ever change. Maybe the reason why we are not changed into God's image and we stay the way we are, lost in our weaknesses, is because we don't acknowledge the bigness of God. We don't. How about it today? What kind of God do you serve? Not only must there be acknowledging, but in order to change for the good and be more like Christ, there must also be confessing. Can I get you to say confessing? Confessing. Acknowledgement does no good unless there's confessing. Acknowledgement does no good unless there's confessing. I could have stood there when I was witnessed to and said, you know what, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner, but if I kept it right there, I wouldn't have been saved. I had to acknowledge that I was a sinner and then acknowledge that Jesus Christ was Lord and what he did on the cross for me and how he rose from the grave. And then I had to confess him as my personal savior. That's how I got saved. You know, a lot of people, New Year's resolution time, boy, I need to lose weight. Yep, that's acknowledgement. All right, here we go. Time to go to a restaurant. Okay. I need to eat healthier. Man, I have diabetes or I have high blood pressure. I need to eat healthier. And by the way, I actually asked my wife. I had to change. I talk a lot about food, but I had to change my portions and the amount. It's just not good anymore. Life is rough this year, okay? Or actually since last year. But we acknowledge the need for change. I got an anger problem. I got a pride issue. My children need help. But then we let them do whatever we want. They want. We acknowledge, but we don't confess and make efforts to get it right. The Bible says, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know what the key to confession is? Humility, fellas in the back. Humility. Humility is the key to confession. But you know the hardest thing about humility? It puts you in a very vulnerable position, doesn't it? Man, I've had to say sorry a lot of times. More times than people have come to say sorry to me, amen, because they're just wrong. But, man, when I remember one time in particular, man, I tell you what, sometimes you got to just be humble even if you're not 100% convinced that you're wrong. Is that false humility? No, that's called trying to get things right with God, amen. And here he goes, man, they're probably going to lash out at me, and you're at the mercy. You know, it'd be neat to be humiliated. It's easy to be humble with God. Lord, I'm sorry. It's okay, son. Let's go on, you know. But, man, with some people, I'm sorry. Are you? Are you? Really? Roses? Roses? Yeah, roses. Okay. I mean, that's it. Good night. People make it hard sometimes. By the way, don't make it hard. The fact that someone's apologizing to you, just take it, amen. Go on with that. But humility is the key to confession. It was the key for our salvation. We had to humble ourselves before the Lord. We had to say, Lord, I'm a worthless sinner. God, I cannot take another step toward heaven on my own merit. I need you. I need you, God. Please come into my heart, Lord. There is none righteous, no, not one. And Lord, within my heart are just evil deeds, God. I need you to cleanse me and forgive me of all my sins. Lord, please help me, oh God. I depend upon you. I rely upon you. That's humility. And that'll get you salvation. Humility restores relationships. I'm sorry. I was wrong. By the way, don't do this false stuff where it's, I'm sorry, I was wrong, but you were too. Or, you know what? I made a mistake, but who doesn't? Seriously, just leave all that out, these qualifying statements, right? You know, I'm not perfect, but can you name me three people that are? Oh, just name me one. No, just apologize. Be humble. God always, I wrote in my Bible, God always honors humility, and he always punishes pride. God always honors humility, and he always punishes pride. How about it today? Is there a relationship that needs to be restored in your life, and it could use a little dose of humility? Could be somebody in your family. It could be someone amongst your circle of friends. I encourage you, confess and get that right. Jesus showed the greatest example of humility. Philippians 2, 5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Someone as powerful as Jesus Christ humbled himself in such a way. Why? So that we could be saved. Yeah. So that we could be saved. Is being like Christ important enough for you, for me, to humble ourselves and confess our wrongs? In addition to confessing, if we're going to change for the good, we must be pursuing. My last point, we must be pursuing. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 29. I have a lot of the notes here, the verses in your notes there for convenience. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek or pursue the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy soul, Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. If you notice the word seek with all your heart, that's a very clear showing of an intense pursuit with total commitment. An intense pursuit with total commitment. I remember when I was pursuing my wife very intently. I remember talking to Brother Myers, do I have permission to try to talk to her, to try to woo her a little bit? Amen. And he said, go for it, man. Can't promise the results, but go for it. And I remember I go by, and she was a new teacher here. And, you know, she didn't really, you know, talk to guys much and everything. But I'm not just any guy. I'm a future husband. I just got to convince her, amen. And I remember walking up to her and just saying hi, you know, expecting like a hi. Just, oh, hi. What? No, you don't understand. And at 2011, we have our first child together, and then so forth, and we have four children together, and you don't understand. In the future, I'm trying to tell this to you, okay? She wouldn't listen. I didn't tell her that, all right? That would be scary. And I remember one time she was painting some chairs out over here, our amphitheater over there, the garage, in front of the garage, and I asked Brother Myers, hey, do you mind if I help her paint some chairs? Can I do it? And he goes, go for it, man. Can't promise the results. So I went over there. I said, man, I got my windbreakers on, my shirt on. I said, hey, Leslie, I think I called her Miss Herrera. Man, that's just sickening to say Herrera. I said, Miss Herrera, do you mind if I help you spray paint? I already started inviting myself inside. She goes, no, thank you. What in the world? And I remember thinking, man, good night. She's probably thinking, can't you get a hint? I remember another time I talked to Pastor. I said, you know, I all this rejection is really just getting me to go forward here, amen. This is the final one, though. Can I ask, maybe I could talk to her dad. Maybe she's one of those, you know, good girls, amen. I have to talk to her dad. And he said, go for it. So I walked by her classroom. She was sitting there grading paperwork. I knocked. She didn't even look up. She goes, come in. Man, good night. Opened up the door. I said, hi. Hi, Miss Herrera. I should have called her Leslie. I mean, good night. That's like trying to date your teacher or something like that. Hi, Miss Herrera. Hi, Miss Herrera. Can I ask you a question? And I don't know. A little pep talk. Maybe threw a couple jokes here or there. Forget. I said, I've been observing you. I follow you everywhere you go, and I like what I see. Just kidding. And I said, push comes to shove. I said, you know what? I'd like to talk to your dad, see if I can get permission to know you better. I already talked to Pastor, okay? So he's fully aware of this. So be polite with your answer. I will report to him. And then she goes, no. Yeah, you won't believe that I actually married her, okay? Good night. I had to lie to her and tell her I had a lot of money, but I said, she goes, no, thank you. What? She goes, that's not why I came to teach her. I didn't come to teach her to get married. I wanted to be a blessing. And by the way, by God's grace and a lot of prayer, amen, she was able to allow me to talk to her dad 3 months later. And then the end's history, amen, we got married. So praise God. Let's give ourselves a round of applause for that. That's just praise God. Woo! Man, is she here somewhere? There she is right there. Still in love. Still gives me a hard time. I don't even know where I'm at here. Pursuing. By the way, that definition of pursuing that I just gave you is the same mentality that many of us used to have for God. Let's be honest here. We used to have that for God. One of the greatest books I ever read was The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozier. I encourage you to read. It's not very long of a read, but it's a little bit of hard of a read. And that book just really taught us, you know, you ought to have this burning fire and desire to pursue God. A lot of times we're very casual as Christians. Just like many husbands and wives, they fall into this trap of casualness where they're just, oh, hi,
okay, honey, let's go here. There's not that love. There's not that burning fire anymore. Let me tell you something. God wants it. God wants it. God wants us to pursue him. I've got a question for you. Are you pursuing God this evening? When you came to church this evening, were you pursuing God? Were you looking for God to do something special in your heart? Were you longing for him? Were you begging him and pleading with him? God, I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living lukewarm. I want something to go on in my life that can amount to something in the judgment seat of Christ. I want to be able to cast crowns at your feet one day. Oh, God, help me in my life to have that burning desire for you. As the deer panted for the water, so my heart panteth for thee, oh, God, please. When's the last time we've shown desire for the Lord? And by the way, maybe that's why we're not changing. Maybe that's why we're so bored as Christians. Maybe that's why our children are bored. Hey, I'm done in a couple minutes here, and I'll be gone, all right? So you could throw whatever you want at me. But maybe that's why our children are compromising. Because we're not showing any fortitude, any desire. Let me tell you something. There wasn't a whole lot, apparently, I just illustrated, that was going to keep me from pursuing my wife. But man, one friend here, one criticism here, we're done with God. We're done with church. That easy. That easy. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Most Christians are content with just being stirred by God and not willing to pursue him enough to be changed. I remember many a times at camp and youth conferences, and I love camps and youth conferences because they've helped me out, but many services stirred my heart, man. I could tell you what was preached. I remember some of the verses and illustrations. It was amazing, and I remember getting excited and wanting to make a decision for the Lord, coming out to the altar, praying for 30 seconds or 45 seconds, whatever time was given, going back to my seat, only to be stirred and not changed. Only to be stirred and not changed. I got a challenge for you. I got a question for you. When is the last time God did something to change you? Not where you say, oh, that's a good message. Oh, that was good for us. Oh, that was good for my marriage. Oh, that was good for my child rearing. No, when was the last time God spoke from heaven, from the word of God, and changed your direction? When is it? If it hasn't happened in a while, we need to start pursuing God. We need to start courting him again, amen? We need to start seeking for that fellowship. There isn't anything that gives God more glory than when we show a constant desire in seeking and pursuing his presence in our lives. There isn't anything that my wife appreciates more, I think, honey, than when I show interest in her on a daily basis, when I compliment her, when I praise her. And by the way, I appreciate my wife. She doesn't, not that if you wear makeup, that's bad, okay? But she doesn't wear a whole lot of makeup. But I call it natural beauty, amen? I'm supposed to say that. But sometimes she'll put makeup on just to try it out, and she'll go, honey, do I look pretty? And what am I supposed to say? Yes, you look prettier now. I mean, it's like a trap. You know, it's like, no, ugly. Before, without anything, the paleness, man, that was wonderful. No, just kidding. Can I tell you something? She appreciates my courting still, even when we're married. She appreciates my compliment. Man, you know, Hannah's not here, so I'll say this. She's been working hard as well as the other bridesmaids on the wedding. The other night, she went to sleep like at 3-something. I thought she stayed up to talk to me, amen? But every time I tried to talk to her, she just, oh, excuse me, honey, excuse me, something. She's working, and I praise her. I said, you know, I also told her not to stay up so late, but I said, you're working pretty hard. You're working pretty hard. And she likes it. Oh, thank you, honey. Thank you. She likes that. You know, God likes that, too. God likes that, too, and I'm going to close in this. We're making good on time. You'll be happy, okay? When I took a prayer class in Bible college, one of the greatest principles on prayer that I learned was adoration. Adoration. You know, the preacher and the teacher said that many times our prayers are like whining times. God, I'm sick. Oh, God, I can't even breathe out of my left nostril. Oh, Lord, I'm hurt. And by the way, some illnesses are not to be made fun of. I get it. But that's the only time we pray. Or, okay, I'm not going to go to prayer straight with my prayer list here. God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for another day of life. Oh, God, but I'm sick. I'm still sick. Oh, God, my marriage needs help. When is the last time that you put all that aside, your intercessions aside, and just said, Lord, there's no hidden agenda here. Amen. I'm just going to brag on you. I'm just going to praise you. I'll tell you what, God will be all ears. God will be all ears. I encourage you, if there's a need that you have in here today, if there's a loved one that needs salvation, if there's something that you need for God to do in your life, try praising him more. Try adoring him more. Amen. And you'll be amazed at what God will do in your life. And maybe God will bring you that change. So if you want that change, not just any change, but the change for the good, the change that will allow us and cause us to be more like Christ, we must acknowledge, we must confess, and we must pursue. And in doing so, I guarantee you, there will be change, but for the good. For the good. Let's pray this evening. Father.